The Jack of All Nerds is recorded by a live studio audience.
Making your way in the world today.
It's electroshock therapy time.
Wakanda forever and never to part. Wakanda forever, it's true.
You puny rangers, make my monster grow!
Whoa, Rita's a man?
Welcome back to more cooking with Bane.
Oh, you think grilling is your ally? Now's not the time to sear. That comes later.
You've been listening to the G-Spot, where we play nothing but Kenny G classics for a two-hour block of time.
Due to explicit content, listener discretion is advised.
On with the show!
Hello, and welcome to the Jack of All Nerds, coming to you from Nerdbot Studios in Alhambra, California. I am the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell. Joining me, as always, Mr. Derek Murray.
Hello, everyone.
Or as I think Sam calls him, Mr. Guns? Is that?
Only one I gotta be, like, right next to the thing.
I can scoot. I'll lean to Mike just the whole rest of the show.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'm pretty much the same. We're the same, so that's fine.
You just can't see it because of the green screen, right?
Yeah. It's an effect. It's a shadow thing. You can't see it.
See, the thing is, I have to Hulk out, but because of the green screen, I can't. If I go that way, I'll just turn invisible.
Yeah, right. No, it makes total sense. Totally checks out.
I identify with that. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Totally checks out.
And also joining us tonight, Mr. Sam Ridley.
What's going on, people? Good to be back. Thank y'all. Always good to be here.
Thank you for being here. We wish you were here more often.
I know.
And as always, guys, the chairman of the board, eating a protein cookie, Mr. Danny Anthony.
What's up? Just getting swole.
That's why we keep him off camera. His swole is too much for the show.
It's because Derek has a fragile ego, and actually Danny's like much bigger than
Derek. It's not true at all.
Just naturally.
Just in the thoracic area. Just that. I'm a little bit bigger there.
So coming up a little bit later on tonight on the show, guys, we're going to be giving our discussion about Captain Marvel, and that's going to be spoiler-filled. You guys have had 2 weeks to see it, so if you haven't, that's on you.
Yeah, not on us. Yeah. We gave you more than enough time.
But we'd say don't listen, but we want you to listen, so.
Yeah, yeah. In the chat, Jason Lane says, gentlemen! Who
are you talking to?
Yeah, who are you talking to?
I think it's like
you got the wrong show, pal.
No. I think it's a
nod.
Gentleman.
Yeah.
And then Bob Kitson says, Sam, Derek, and Michael, I will be coming out soon, and I'm not sure.
So excited for you. I knew it.
Congratulations.
I totally. Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you the congratulations in the chat right now.
But if you mean that you're going to be coming out to, say, the West Coast,
then
let us know, man. We'll have you back
on. He's in New York.
It's been a long time since he's been on.
It has been.
Because he was like, I'm going to go to New York and be better than you.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I think that's how that worked out.
That's the mentality of anybody that moves from L.A. to New York.
Yeah.
But he totally did it. He is the highest grossing comedian in Park Slope. So he did it. He did it. So, you know.
Anyway, guys, before we get into anything important, we have to talk about the people who allow us to be here,
everybody. That's important.
What? Oh, sorry. So what? The sponsors?
Sponsors are important.
They are, but they're different important.
Oh, okay.
They're an obligated important.
They're only important because they allow us to be here. So next week we're going to be skipping sponsors because we don't have them anymore.
Thank you, Mike, for giving us the Roadhouse sponsorship.
No, next week we won't be skipping sponsors. We just won't be back.
Completely different problem.
The sponsors know we love them. In fact, we're going to talk about it right now. First up,
let's do it.
The Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Conveniently located off the 210 freeway at the Day Creek exit in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
The Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Huge in Wakanda, guys. Huge.
It's not the Etiwanda. It's the Etiwakanda Roadhouse.
The Etiwakanda Roadhouse.
Wakanda forever and ever.
Never.
Oh my God! Don't do that! Don't do that!
That's their jingle. Their theme
song.
That's it.
That's the theme song of the Roadhouse, the Edda Wakanda Roadhouse.
Edda Wakanda Roadhouse.
Oh my goodness!
Wow.
Boy, nightly food specials, drink specials, live entertainment, pub trivia, karaoke, sports on TVs, all kinds of good stuff, and beer.
Dust and blood.
And that too.
Dust and blood.
We don't do that here.
For more information, visit facebook.com/eRoadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Also, guys, be sure to check out The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery dinner show. Enjoy a fabulous four-course meal while solving a hilarious murder investigation. For more information, visit thedinnerdetective.com. And if you're purchasing tickets for the Claremont, California, or Jacksonville, Florida location, use the promo code CRIME to get a 10% discount. That's right. All up in the business.
That's right.
Also, guys, check out Four Color Fantasies comic book store located in Rancho Cucamonga, California. It is the Inland Empire's best comic book shop. They have all your comic and collectible needs, and if they don't have it, they can order it, and they will. You can go into the shop. It's beautiful, or you can order online. They do it all.
They do
except
it
for
all.
The kinky stuff. You gotta.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay extra for that.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. And they also do private movie screenings for some of the biggest comic book movies coming up in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks. They will be doing a private screening for the artist formerly known as Captain Marvel.
Shazam!
My man!
And we, and we will be there. Live,
yeah. doing
stuff and then watching the movie, and very excited for Shazam. And if you guys are in the Southern California area, you should be there too. We'd love to see you.
Yeah.
Tickets are usually $25 to $28 and includes a t-shirt, a goodie bag, a raffle ticket. They give away a lot of cool stuff, so you're not going to want to miss out.
Yeah, it's very cool.
That's sponsors, guys.
Sweet.
Yes.
I feel so sponsored right now.
So sponsored.
We're completely sponsored.
Sponsored deep and hard.
Wow.
We don't do that.
we don't do that here.
Anyway, guys, it is time for our Netflix Netfix of the week. And if you are new to the show, what we all do is we each watch something on Netflix that we have never seen before. And then we give you a quick summation about it and a review in case you wish to check it out for yourself. Yeah. Who is up first this week?
Up first is the 2000s.
The 2000s.
Because
you pick things with numbers in the title, and those go before the alphabetical stuff in order.
You know, so that's the way they pop up, and our engineer is so talented at skipping things, so he just goes to the first one. That's fine. I watched the 2000s. If y'all don't know these series, there's a bunch of them. It's the 2000s, the 90s, the 80s, the 70s. And they basically just run through everything we forgot we were mad about for a week in the 2000s and the 70s.
It's so true.
I mean, really. Like,
that is exactly what the show is.
If they made this for now, it'd be like a week of Cardi B. It'd just be weeks of things that people were pissed about on social media.
Yeah.
But it was like bigger stuff that happened. Like the one from like the 90s was like the Rodney King riots and things like that. So the 2000s like took me through. The ones I watched were the TV shows. And if you are one of those people that are like, oh man, I just completely missed the boat on The Sopranos or The Wire, don't watch the 2000s because they tell the end of all it.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Absolutely all of it. They just go, hey, you remember how that ended? And I'm like, well, I'm glad I watched it back then, you know? And even talk about the failures of TV shows like Lost, like how it was great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're very honest about it. Remember, I don't know if y'all were into Lost, but I was crazy about it. And there was like two or three seasons where they were literally just spinning their wheels.
Well, I want to say that's because they decided to write through or do it through the writer's strike that happened.
There's some of that. They go into it too.
Same thing happened with Heroes.
Yeah, but they more talked about the fact that it was just the studio was like, we want this to go on for like 9 more seasons.
Yeah.
they weren't going to let it die. The network just wanted it to go on. And when they finally said, okay, you guys can end it, it was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
So.
What kills a good show is
what
stretching
it.
Yeah.
And this one in particular is one of the things that they talk about where the writers were like, no, we had no intention of like making it this big long thing. And the studio was like, sorry.
Yeah. Well, this is what we want. So that's where we get the suck from. And it talks about a lot of those shows.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like kill it for you, but let's just say if you did watch a lot of the shows back then, the Entourages, The Wire, The Sopranos, things like that. It's just a good trip down nostalgia. And then they also go through politics and all of that. If you cared or were paying attention, or maybe if you weren't, you'd be like, oh, that's what people were pissed about, you know, that particular president did. Please check it out. What's the highest rating you can give here?
It's out of five.
Out of five, right? Yeah, I will give it five Kangols. It was great. It was great.
Can I just say, I love that, like, one of the images they have for this poster is Paris Hilton on a Zune.
I had a Zune. That thing was amazing. So people hate on the Zune, but that was superior technology. No, man,
if it was in Guardians, it's fine. Yeah. Like, and it made Guardians.
It was ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was.
Well, and you know what? Honestly, all of these are really great. Like, I did the 90s. I've done the 80s. The 2000s are really fun. And it is a very fun trip down memory lane. And this one is a little bit more recent because it's stuff like we've actually kind of lived through in our adult lives. Mm-hmm. And so it is a lot of fun to kind of, I think the strongest episodes out of all of these.
You're saying you didn't have fond memories of the Reagan administration when you were watching?
Yeah.
Reagan?
You know, when I
tear
was two,
down this wall.
It was very difficult for me to know the impact of that. Yeah.
Uncle Jimmy's still in jail for crack. No, there wasn't. No.
But no, it's good. I actually think the strongest, and maybe you agree or not, but I actually think the strongest episodes of all of these series are their TV and music episodes.
They are.
Because it just really kind of gives you a true snapshot of what life was like based on the television and music that existed.
I get that more from the music ones because regardless of like the political ones and everything else, you know what you were doing when you heard those songs, mm-hmm. you know, like they kind of take you to a place in time. So yeah, it's excellent. Like I highly recommend them. And then I love the fact that since they split it up that way, regardless of how old you are, pick that era that was your shit. You know what I'm saying? So just go back to it.
Or pick one from a different one and learn something.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
like I said, nobody wants all to of the learn. 80s. Yeah, I did the 80s. I've done all three of them. They do it really, really well. So yeah.
Yep. All right, what's next?
Up next is Adam Ruins Everything.
Huh, speaking of nostalgia. Yeah, so this show is, okay, so on paper, I feel like this show should not work. Because this show is basically a show about an incredibly unlikable white guy that goes through everything that you think you know and just goes, well, actually, that is the entire show. Like, the whole show is that. It's just this guy. So it always starts out with a little sketch of somebody like, talking about dating or whatever it is he's going to cover. And then he pops in the most annoying fucking way and rips it to shreds, with like facts and research and tells you everything that you're wrong about and blah, 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 blah. So on paper, this show should not be enjoyable in any way. I have binge watched both seasons from start to finish.
And to be clear, Adam is the worst part of the show.
Yes.
It's the information that is being presented that is fascinating.
Yes.
And that's why you can't look away. But every time he speaks, you are like, can somebody punch him in the mouth?
Yes. Yeah. And look, the show is very aware of how annoying he actually is.
Okay. I was going to ask you, was it a self-awareness?
Oh, yeah. No. It's incredibly self-aware. Okay. The reason I put it that way is because on paper, like I said, it shouldn't work. But Mike is absolutely right. The information that they go through and the research that they do is astounding. Like, it's absolutely fascinating the way they go through these topics, and it's all done in a pretty good way. And it's always, there's always like a friend that knows that Adam is going to show up. And when he does, they break the fourth wall all the time. So like there's an episode where he talks about like sex and how like sex is perceived in society and, you know, having a family and all of that. And it's a couple and they're about ready to have sex and he basically pops in and the girl immediately goes, it's going to be done in 20 minutes without commercials. Just let him go. And so they go through that. So they're always very kind of self-aware of like what it is he's doing. And, but it's an incredibly informative show.
I would say this. I wouldn't change your current lifestyle based on any information that you discover.
Not at all.
Take it as fun.
It's very fun.
Cause he does, like, there's the one on the hygiene episode.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, you don't need to shower every day. Like, don't take that to heart.
Careful with that, nerds. Come on down.
Yeah.
A lot of the info that he goes over is really fascinating. It's a really fun watch. It's a good show to put on, like, if you're working on something when you're at home. Like, I work from home sometimes. And so when I'm home, having a show like this is really fun because I can kind of stop for a second, pay attention to the information he's giving, and then go right back to it. You don't have to, like,
you can zone out.
You can zone in and out. Yeah. But a lot of the times it does draw you in because the facts that he comes up with are really fascinating, and it's a really interesting show. And the one thing I really like about it is at the end of every show, he always gives kind of like an uplifting recap. So even though, like, he'll talk about, like, public transportation, and he goes through, the idea of owning a car and how terrible the auto industry is and all of these things. But then he gives, you know, he brings in an expert of, like, here's how things can get better. Here's how things can work out. These are some takeaways that you can take away from the information. So, there's always some kind of resolution. There's always some kind of fix. But it's really good. I really enjoy the show. And like I said, on paper, it shouldn't work. But I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
Out of five. Hmm. All right. That's really strong.
So does
strong.
It tell you, like, not to wash and then what type of deodorant to use to mask it?
Like, no, they don't. He doesn't give you solutions. He just tells you what's wrong with the way you think about things, essentially. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's a whole episode on security.
Yeah.
Like how you're not actually secure at the airport. So afterwards you might be like, well, I'm never flying again. But yeah. Like that's,
yeah.
Right.
It's, you know, it's,
well,
just
anybody that's paying attention knows that's an illusion.
Yeah.
Anywhere
yeah.
that they have like a, hey, pay for the pre-TSA and but that's, you can skip it. Like that means you're
and
not
the whole,
secure.
He talks about like security theater and all of those kinds of things. But really in the end, he's like, it's fine. Like nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's okay. That's just how it is, yeah. And you can live your life like normal, yeah, and everything will be fine.
It's a deterrent.
Fine.
You can't stop people.
And that's why I'm saying don't go watch it and then be like, I gotta change everything.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're not gonna fix the prison system.
Also, don't go watch it and then take a gun to the airport.
Yeah, that either.
Don't do that. Because yeah. You'll probably die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real quick to the chat, going back to, we were talking about Lost at one point. XL said Lost was fantastic until the end. They admitted they made shit up as they went. Q says, what's up? I'm finally here. LOL. Kurt Strack says, Adam Ruins Everything is so good, and he is right. It shouldn't work. And yeah.
XL said hi to me.
Yes, he did.
Because I joined the chat.
You did join the chat. And then
Kurt, he does say that the show reminds him of Stuff You Should Know.
But lesser,
yes. Timothy Lear says, first episode, he says it's all his opinion based on how he interprets the data available. It's a heck of an admission that you aren't meant to take it to heart.
Yep. So don't.
Yep.
What's next, Danny?
Up next is The Joy of Painting.
Ah, yes. The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross.
With my homie Bob Ross.
So now I've heard Bob Ross referenced and parodied, and
right.
There's memes and all that
kind of
stuff.
He's a pop cultural icon.
Yeah, but this man's show was, you know, before my time, at least when I was watching people paint, I guess. A PBS show, The Joy of Painting. It's on Netflix, so I decided to watch it. And full disclosure, normally I got a lot going on. So when I watch stuff, I'm usually doing other things, writing or editing or something like that. And this show caused me to just sit.
And you get mesmerized.
And just watch.
I mean, he makes it look so easy.
He does. He makes it look like if you were painting along with him, that you would have a masterpiece.
And I've actually seen people that don't paint along with him.
They can't do it.
No. They, like, the people I've seen do it, they do pretty well.
But they're boring.
Nope. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not me.
The thing is, he's actually very good at instruction. Like, that's the whole point of the show. He's instructing people on how to paint. He even tells you, like, don't, you know, this is your world. Do what you know, and like, he doesn't want you to copy what he's doing. He's showing you techniques so that you can create your own paintings. I don't know his background as a painter. I know he was an instructor. But most of the paintings on his show are all naturescapes. Like, you don't ever see like people or, you know, realistic type stuff. Although his naturescapes are gorgeous. And the way he does them, you're just like, the first time I watched this man paint a mountain range, I was just like, get the fuck out of here.
It's that easy.
It is.
It's that easy.
With a, not even with a brush.
With a knife.
With a painting knife. Yeah. And he made a photorealistic mountain range.
Yeah. I'm like, isn't that a scraper?
Yeah.
And then he's got like a piece of a cardboard box and he's dabbing it and he'll go, I'm just going to put a little right here.
Yeah.
And what always tripped me out with him when I was watching that as a kid was it doesn't look like anything until it just looks like everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think he's the hypno toad. Fucking Futurama.
What's funny is even once he starts doing things and it shapes up into something like trees, for example, when he starts making a tree and he gets to a point where you're like, that is a good looking tree. And then he's like, now let's add some accents. And then he adds more to it. And you're like, how could you take what I thought was phenomenal and make it better? And he does. You're just at one point, you're like, it's going to be too much at one point, Bob. And it never is.
And it's like the way he makes it even better is he just puts a white line down one side of it. And it's just like, what the fuck did you just do?
You didn't know it needed that, but he knew.
Yeah.
You know? It needed a white line there.
And his temperament is so, like, I love when he shows you photos and videos of his pet squirrels. This guy has baby squirrels. And he's just, and he just shows you footage of them and while he's painting, and you're just like, what? What am I watching? But he has the personality of a snow pea. And it's, but it's so great. Like, it's just the way that he handles everything. I love what he's like, let's get crazy. Let's get crazy.
And then, let's get crazy and just put some clouds right here. It's like, that's crazy, huh?
Have fun with it.
I would pay money to see him pick up chicks. Because he is just like,
let's just go crazy.
So nonchalant with it, though. It's not all, hey, let's do some blow. It's, you know, we're going to get crazy.
God, I miss cocaine.
Crazy. We're just going to do this thing around your butt.
Yeah, okay. He'll paint a tree and then he'll be like, you know what? Let's give him a friend. And then he'll paint another tree. It is so great. It's great. So I'm giving this a 5 out of 5.
Wow. Just
because, no, again, it's
you're
deserving
not allowed to give it anything less.
It's captivating.
I've binge watched both this and The Chill with Bob Ross on Netflix.
Wow.
It's just so good. It's so relaxing.
Yeah.
Like I can just watch an episode and then put the next episode on and fall asleep.
Wow. I'm going to have to check this out.
It's so good.
It's a high ass rating.
There was a lot of in the chat about this.
Bob Ross taking over for the 99 and the 2000.
Tim Lehrer says, I like to imagine that Bob Ross in private was soulmates with Andrew Dice Clay.
No, there was just one time I wanted to see Bob Ross just like paint something and be like, okay, now check this shit out. And he just and does just something simple and he just blows it out of the water.
XL says, I used to teach people how to draw. Anyone can do it if you follow the steps. People never believe it until they try for themselves. Step by step.
XL, I'm going to tell you right now, that's me. Don't believe it. Not for a second.
Don't believe the hype at all.
Apparently, Derek couldn't even do paint by number.
No, nope.
So.
I'm going to tell you right now, I do not understand how lines work on paper. I just, you can give me a fucking graph paper and be like, dude, nope, not going to happen. I'm just telling you right now, I have no, that is not where my artistic skills lie in any way, shape, or form.
You ever see those shows where like they're learning to paint? So you'll see them like drawing these like, just regular ass shapes like rectangles and you know, to make a finger and then they paint over it or something.
Yeah.
They never show that in between step.
No, they don't
something.
At all. They
it's,
don't at
it's
all.
It's all a lie. Exhale's lying. Like, he's lying. He's absolutely
9/11 was an inside job.
Which is funny though, because Bob Ross, he paints an entire painting in the scope of the show and you watch him paint the whole thing.
Yeah.
So you go from like he has usually the canvas is pre-set up with some paint on it, like a black or something for a certain area, but he tells you everything. He tells you what's on the canvas. He tells you what paints you're going to need for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just paints the painting and kind of gives instruction as he goes. And it's great. Q says, yes, Bob Ross, my dad introduced me to this and I love art. Also, he was in the army before he started painting.
Mm.
So
now all of his paintings are, you know, about war and death. And
that man would paint some beautiful warscapes.
Beautiful warscapes.
See this little dead guy here? We're just going to give him a friend.
Let's get crazy.
Let's get crazy.
Let's paint some entrails over here.
He's going to need a bag right here. It's terrible.
All right, what's next, Dan?
Up next is Triple Frontier.
Yes.
And this was the like the long-awaited the heist movie that was coming out on Netflix. They've been pushing it super hard on all the social media.
I feel like they do that though every time they have a new Netflix original. They're just like,
I think they go a little bit harder when there's a name attached to it.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
It was this and Bird Box, you know, like
yeah.
I feel the name of this confuses me. What does it do?
Honestly, I have no idea. The only thing I could think of is like where they're at in South America is like they're like surrounded by like 3 different countries or something. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Cause every time I was trying to think of it, I could remember triple, but I couldn't think of the word that would go with it. And then when I look at them, I'm like, Triple Frontier, what does that mean?
No, no, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I went right past it. Like, what does that mean? So yeah.
So how is it, Danny?
Honestly, I was kind of let down by it. I mean, Netflix sets it up as like this kind of like action heist movie. And it's not that at all. When you're looking at the trailer for it, you're assuming like the body count's going to be super high and that, bullets are just going to explode off the screen. It's that violent. But it doesn't happen. It's very slow paced. I want to say like they get done with the heist like halfway through the movie and the other half of the movie is them just trying to get home with the money.
Mm.
and all the shenanigans they get themselves into.
Shenanigans. Classic Affleck.
Classic. But he was the bomb in Phantoms, yo. I still think it was a pretty good movie. I feel like they focus too much on the big stars like Ben Affleck and Oscar Isaac. When the meat of this movie actually is, in my opinion, Garrett Hedlund, Pablo Pascal, and Charlie Hunnam. Like they're like the soul of this movie, and they just spent, I think, too much time on the other two guys.
Jason Lane says it's not as good as Quadruple Frontier. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Checks out. Checks out.
If I were going to rate him, it's obviously Quadruple Frontier is the best, then Triple Frontier, then Double Frontier, and then Single Frontier.
Yeah.
Double Impact.
Honestly, the best one is the Final Frontier.
They didn't
obviously.
They didn't call a Single Frontier. They didn't just call it Frontier.
No, it was Single Frontier.
Single Frontier.
Yeah, Single Frontier.
Yeah. They knew this was going to be a franchise from the get go. Yeah.
We're starting at three.
And that's actually funny. The original working title for that was How to Be Single Frontier.
So we actually got an explanation. Thank you, Mr. Lira. He said the Triple Frontier is the border area where Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay meet.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's kind of what I said.
There you go.
We need that. Yeah. We need that here.
That's a Jeopardy knowledge right there.
But Tim said it with confidence. He typed it with confidence.
Yeah, I did.
Also, XL just he said, I like Triple Frontier for the most part. I just wish that I felt the stakes were a tad bit more once they were fleeing the country.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the whole heist scene, it's lightning quick. They spend a whole lot of time they didn't realize how much money was there, and they just spent like a lot of time getting the money, and that kind of amped it up. It's like, guys, you're running out of time. You got to get out of there. And they get off without a hitch.
At what point do they get set upon by the Predator?
It happens like really late in the third act. Like it's almost like a post-credit scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
When is
this
they realize...
was this the tie-in to the remake of the Predator? Is that?
Dear God, I hope.
Shane Black just burst into the Netflix studio. Was like, let me just take a crack at the end credit scene, guys. Just hear me out. Hear me out.
Buddy cop.
Here's Buddy a kid. Cop. Here's a kid.
He's got autism. He's stuck in the Triple Frontier.
Jesus. He's also the good doctor.
What are you rating this one?
I think like just because I was like kind of disappointed in like how not actiony it was, I'm gonna go like 2.5.
Ooh.
Oh wow!
Because
average.
It's average. Yeah. It's I wanted it to be so much more, and I guess like I get what they were trying to do with it, what they were trying to say with it. But the trailer just got me and
Look, that's the thing. Marketing does matter.
Yeah, it really does.
If you market a movie one way, that's what you're going in expecting to see. And when you don't see that, it doesn't always mean that the movie is bad, but that's not what you're expecting. And that can be a letdown for sure.
And we've talked about this before where the people who made the movie have nothing to do with the people that make the trailer. And so that person is watching a movie and being like, I think it should be this. And then that's how they market it.
And even at Netflix. Because I've heard people say, well, Netflix has more control over that. I'm like, they operate the same stupid way where the trailer has nothing to do with it. So, yeah, you can't go by that.
Allison.
I'm doing it next week.
Ah, fuck you. God damn it. I've been watching that. Holy shit, is it good.
Yep, I'm doing it.
Pat Allison, yes. Love Death and Robots. So fucking good.
You guys are ruining it now. We don't even need to cover it now. Everyone is forbidden from covering it.
No. Nope, claimed it.
Nope, Danny just ruined it. He said it was great. So, done.
Yep.
No. And Kurt, yes, it is.
Nope.
I'm just going to come in here next time with a list of 10 movies. That one's good. That one's good. That one's okay.
I watched that crap. 2.5, 3, 4.
I have y'all watching Carmen Sandiego.
He already did it.
Stop it. That shit's really good, too.
All right. Let's move on to some current events.
Let's do that.
What is up first?
Up first is... Oh, shit. I can't see it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
Yep.
Just throw it. It's Aladdin.
Hot take.
There was a new Aladdin trailer. A new Aladdin trailer that came out that showed more footage from the movie. And it felt like, Disney was like, you were angry when it was black. Mm-hmm. Then you were angry when it was blue. So you know what? Fuck it. He's just going to be both.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Pretty much.
Although it makes a lot of sense in the context of having a live action film. When they're in Agrabah, you can't have a big blue dude floating around with you. So it makes sense that he would look like Will Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, look, you can, there, again, there are things you can get away with in an animated film that you can't get away with a live action remake. It just, people are going to ask questions. You yes. know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So let's start down on the end. Sam, what did you think of the new trailer?
I liked it. This was the first one that I actually did like, because I didn't really care about the whole blue debacle that the internet was mad about. I was like, you're stupid. You knew he was going to be blue, Will Smith. Like, I don't know what else to tell people on that. But when I saw this one, this was the first trailer that made me want to see the movie, because the other ones, I was still on the fence. Aladdin's not my like favorite Disney property anyway. Mm-hmm. This one though made me be like, okay, they found that balance of fun that they needed for this to work. Mm-hmm. And like when they showed Aladdin like running through town, it felt like the Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, yeah, it really did.
Fuck that game. Yeah. Fuck that game.
That shit was
game.
Hard as fuck. No, that game was hard as fun. Shit. It was so much fun. It was like the Lion King on Super Nintendo and Genesis.
Did you ever play the Genesis version?
Yes.
Yeah, I have it.
Because it always bothered me that you got a sword in the Genesis version, but then in the Super Nintendo one, you get apples or whatever. Yeah.
The Genesis one was better.
Yeah,
the
Genesis one. I don't know what that was. I think it was because Nintendo was just a pain in the ass about violence.
Yeah,
they were. They
I want to say like the Mortal Kombat on Genesis was
when you punched them was bloody, Super
and then
Nintendo.
Super Nintendo was sweat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
All right, Derek.
I'm gonna agree with Sam. I think most of the things that we saw, I was kind of like, okay, I'm just gonna wait and see. And I think when we talked about the original teaser, and you know, Will Smith being blue and whatever, like, to me, it was like, guys, what? Again, we were talking about it. It's like, what do you want? Like, so Disney's gonna give you both. That's what you're gonna get. But honestly, I thought this was the best trailer that they put forward. I think they do a good job in just kind of showing you what you're in for, showing you what's similar, showing you what's gonna be different.
Honestly, at this point, you should just be glad he didn't appear in whiteface, because that's. I don't know if you remember the genie in the cartoon when they show up and do the whole Prince Ali song. He's very pale.
Yeah, that's true.
They could have gone that route.
That is true. They definitely could have. I have said from the very beginning, and I think most of us have, is that Will Smith is going to Will Smith the shit out of this genie. And if you think he's going to be anything else, just don't go watch the movie, guys.
Don't do it.
Like, yeah, I don't know what you think Will Smith can do other than Will Smith, but that's fine. And actually seeing it in this trailer more than just like a brief little clip, seeing him interact with Aladdin, come out as the actual genie, I was like, fine, be Will Smith. I'm actually on board for this.
Even when he did the like make me a prince, and he was like,
"Oh, that was really good." I like
gray
that.
Area
that.
Yeah,
that is you can't get more Will Smith than that. And I was like, "I'm on board. This is fine."
And that's what I love, like, because I've always had a problem with like genies and wishes and fairy tales and whatnot. Like, you got to be fucking specific about your wish.
Yeah, well, they do that. I mean, in the actual Aladdin cartoon, he does. I mean,
he tells him.
He warns him. They have a whole little talk about like, well, you can't just go spouting out whatever comes to mind because you're gonna hurt yourself. So I think it's fine. I think it's gonna be great. I'm excited to hear him rap Friend Like Me instead of actually sing it. And if you think I'm lying, go back and watch this trailer. He is not singing at all.
No.
He is 100% Fresh Prince of Bel-Air rapping the shit out of this song.
He came a little hard with the Friend Like Me.
Right? Like, yeah. You ain't never had a friend like me.
And it had dice in the mirror.
Jason Lane does ask, why does the genie that's been in a bottle for 3,000 years have a Philly accent?
It's a fair question.
Because in West Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Because you guys fail to realize that genies have phenomenal cosmic power. can sound like anything he wants to. Danny, what did you think?
I liked it. I thought that Make Me a Prince thing was actually really funny and a good setup to, like I said, like all that. Whoever they got to play Jasmine, I recognize her. I don't know what from.
Power Rangers.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yep. She was the Pink Ranger. Okay. Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a first.
Yeah.
She looks great.
Oh, no, she's bad.
Jafar, I mean, the whole thing, it looks very, very accurate to the cartoon, which I'm very happy about. But yeah, other than that, I got nothing to say about it. Like,
okay.
I mean, this made me feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah,
I don't think they should be allowed to sing A Whole New World, being that we've seen it already.
The song, it's not a whole new world anymore. Yeah, no.
It's a whole new world to them, Sam.
Oh, okay, whatever.
A 3D world.
Yeah,
I just hope we still get the teenagers take off your clothes in the background.
That's dude. They showed that clothes. Scene where he was like, "Do you trust me?" And I was like, "Take off your clothes." I said it myself.
I think they should do it just because.
They
you know?
Should. They yeah. totally should. Well, and Jason Lane says they should have got Sinbad to play the genie, and then the prophecy would be complete.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Exhale says, I'm the Smith playing the Smith. The skies is another Smith.
Adam just asked a question to Gilbert Godfrey being a parrot, and he is not, and he's pissed about it. I want to say.
Who is playing the parrot?
I'm not sure, but there I saw a video clip of him talking about how they didn't call him to do it, and he was pissed about it. So, yeah.
Real quick, so Q says, look, I know Will Smith will knock it out of the park, but I think they're going to be purists who grew up in Robin Williams and will still be bitching and whining.
Oh, man.
Shut up. 100%.
He says, shut up, I will watch the movie. And the reason I want to talk about that is because you brought up Will Smith being Will Smith, mm-hmm. and there, everybody has been kind of already comparing just seeing him to Robin Williams. And the thing you have to remember is that Robin Williams was Robin Williams
yes.
in the original movie.
Yep.
And they kind of just animated around him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Will Smith is going to be Will Smith, but that's fine. This
that's
is a new
genie,
take on it.
Yeah.
You don't want him being Robin Williams.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If yeah. One, he probably couldn't do it.
He can't do it.
But that's a testament to Robin Williams.
Yes.
And Mike is absolutely correct. If you've watched anything of Robin Williams, of doing his stand-up or any of the roles that like you know him for, Robin Williams is basically himself in everything, and the genie is no exception. It's just an animated Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Tim Lehrer says Alan Tudyk is Iago, I think, which
I don't mind at all.
I'm completely
okay. Yeah. Sorry, Gilbert.
I did not murder him.
But yeah, everything, like you said, when you see Robin Williams, the world around Robin changes. He doesn't change.
Right.
In
yeah.
Any
yeah
of those
absolutely.
Movies.
Absolutely.
And everybody was all pissed when Jumanji came out, and they were like, "You can't do this to Robin Williams." Like. People, you've got to, and this goes back to his comment about like the movies and the trailers. Stop fucking yourself out of liking everything that comes out before it comes out.
Yeah.
That happens with every single property. Everybody will hate the trailer and then they go in hating the movie and, oh, I didn't think Finn was represented enough. You got to stop that shit.
God
like you just
got
to stop. Fuck Daniel. Look, yeah, you got to stop.
I was waiting for him to turn this shit personal and it
happened.
It came so soon.
I saw his face with no sleeves. Anyway. No, all right, no, all that aside. Like, seriously, we as we have more access to all of this shit. Like,
yeah.
You know, we see everything. They put out pictures of, you know, hey, this is this person on the set. And then we immediately assume that's how they're going to look in the movie on everything.
Yeah.
And we kill it for ourselves. We got to stop doing that.
Yeah. And
I
it's
think
definitely,
this is going to be good.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. And it's definitely a price we're paying for having all of that information and all of that, you know, given to us right away. Because yeah. Remember, mm-hmm. You used to have to go to the movies
and see something
to
you didn't
see trailers. that was like an actual thing that you used to be able to do. And then honestly, that made I feel like that made the anticipation build up more.
Yes. Yes.
It made less details about the film come out, and you had to see the movie to make up your mind. And now most of us don't have
also,
to do that.
Yeah, and you had to. Not only do you have to go to see the trailer, but then you didn't have an outlet to go and scream at yeah. nobody about it. This is what you did back then when you were like you had someone that you were watching the movie with. You'd see it and be like, that looks terrible. And then
that was it.
Yeah, that was it. That's all you got.
Yeah.
And that's all you got.
So yeah. Anyway.
Everybody gave the nod.
Yeah.
You know, and that was about it. Or you left and you had like four friends and you'd be like, have you seen like when we were talking about Meet Joe Black, how the Phantom Menace trailer played on that. People would go see that trailer and leave.
And leave. They paid full price admission to see Meet Joe Black, watch the Phantom trailer, and then bounced. Those are the Stone Ages.
That is anticipation at its finest.
Yeah.
It's so hard to do
yeah.
that. By
yeah.
the time I've gone to the theater, I've seen the trailers on YouTube.
Yeah, I've seen all of them.
You're
yeah.
tired of the trailers, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and that's another thing. You only got one trailer. Now we get two, three,
too.
Four trailers.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
we get the first trailer, we get the international trailer, and then we get the second trailer, and mm-hmm. then they do like a fourth trailer that's just like a snippet of each.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's TV spots and yeah. like, yeah.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
It's big business nowadays, trailers.
Yep. Yeah.
So, but anyway, let's move on.
Yes.
Next up.
Speaking of trailers.
Yeah. Yes, weird.
We won't spend too much time on this one though, because,
yeah.
you know, that's reasons. So
yeah.
the new
sexy
Avengers Endgame trailer came out. And I'm just going to say something real quick and then we'll open up the floor. But I don't have much to say about this. I do appreciate that Most of this trailer was just using clips from their previous standalone films and Avengers with the voiceover, and then a few shots from the previous trailer that we had already seen. And then just a couple of new things, just to really wet the appetite. Yep. Like the new Mass Effect uniforms that they're wearing.
I'm so glad they white-faced the Avengers costumes. I'm really excited that they did that.
Yeah. They're like, hey, we still got all these extra Iron Patriot costumes.
It's like, nope, even War Machine gets the Mass Effect treatment.
This clip right here looks like they're gearing up to play in Mighty Ducks 4.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Ducks stand together.
But I mean, the trailer has succeeded in making me more excited than I already was to see this movie. Yeah. So I dug it.
Well, here's the thing. If the myth that all the promotional stuff is within the first 20 minutes, why is Tony Stark with everybody?
Dude, this movie is pushing 3 hours long.
It's wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. I think we're going to be jumping around through time throughout this whole movie.
To me, none of that stuff bothers me. I think that this is a testament to how you do trailers correctly.
Yes.
Both times, because the fact that they can give us a new trailer that has practically nothing new, and still make you be like, fuck, that was better than the first one. Like, that is how you give a good trailer. And you also haven't given me any information about the movie. Like, you're asking, why is Tony Stark there? Why is Ant-Man there? How did Captain Marvel show? All of these, none of that shit's answered. Yeah. And we've already seen two full 2 minute trailers, and that, to me, that is how you market a movie correctly. And just recently there's been some surfacing of some people who are saying like they've got the leaked footage and they're, you know, they've been spouting off all these different spoilers. And I'm just like, why would you do that to yourselves? Like, this, for the first time in a long time, I get to walk into a movie and have no fucking clue what's going to happen.
Yeah, like, I hope they don't drop another trailer.
I don't think they will.
Last one.
This is it.
This is it. Yeah, because it comes out in what, 3 weeks, four weeks?
We're too close.
I'm ready, man. I'm super pumped.
I will say this. One of the things that's got me interested is in all the promotional material, we haven't even really seen Thanos at all. Like, we've seen a gauntlet and that's it.
Yeah. And he should be off like just making himself some grits.
That's exactly what he's doing. Like, he's got his feet up. He's sipping on some iced tea.
He's on
fine.
Vacation, guys.
Yeah, yes.
His work is done as far as he's concerned.
He's watching the sunset in a grateful universe.
Pretty much. Yeah, I felt like I loved, as soon as I saw the clips from Iron Man 1, I was like, oh, you're doing it. You're giving us all the feels. Like, let us know, for the people that are going to come watch this movie and go, it doesn't make sense. If you watch it by itself, it's like, that's because you shouldn't. You're an idiot. You know? Like, this is the end of a long road, you know, and this, and we've all been following it. Yeah. So you can't go into it that way.
That's why I like this trailer so much.
To the only gripe I really saw from people was one, that they didn't give any information. And I literally in my review just said, shut up, you're stupid. And in the whole Tony Stark being there, where people were like, well, how did he get back?
Answer that in the movie.
But honestly, like, we all knew he was going to be in the next one. Yeah, I think that's their gimme. Yeah, yeah. That's their gimme in this, where people are like, we didn't get any new information. Yeah, you did. He's right there. So past that, we should just be able to go in and have a good time.
Yeah. I will tell you this. The trailer did make me hopeful that I know a lot of people are pulling for Thor and Valkyrie, but I want to see Thor and Captain Marvel make some super babies.
Yes. You want to see that electricity? God damn.
I do. They could destroy a planet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
another.
Bring me another
one. Like, you thought the Jessica Jones, Luke Cage sex scenes were aggressive?
Man.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, man, it's just lightning and the Tesseract just fucking
holding up your hand for a new box of condoms.
Fuck your Super Saiyan. That is final form shit right there, guys.
Although I'm pretty sure when she climaxes, she breaks him. I do. I think that.
I think so too. And I honestly, that to me was probably the best addition to this trailer of
that little clip
of Thor.
I like this one.
Of just grabbing the Stormbreaker, and she doesn't even blink, and he's just like, respect.
We'll talk about it more, but we walked out of the Captain Marvel movie and we're like, oh, Thor's in trouble, or not Thor, Thanos is in trouble.
Yeah. All right, we got just one more real quick one.
One more quick one, and this is
I'm hoping it's the one I think it is.
I hope it is too, because this was big.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Hell yes.
I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be Amber Heard abusing Johnny Depp, and we were able to welcome Captain Jack Sparrow into Hollywood again.
It's the wrong platform.
Got it. Okay, fair enough.
Although it was exciting news, to be sure.
It is. But it is because he's going to be in Pirates 6 now. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
Just to hear that my boyfriend wasn't a piece of shit. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, but that's not it. So no. The gun is back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And going to be directing both. Guardians 3 and Suicide Squad 2?
Well, it depends on what other tweets they find. So.
You know, some troll is like, God damn it, that didn't work!
did you see his MySpace?
Time to break out the live journal!
Jesus. Now they're going to have to go back. They're going to have to go into a Zynga.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, yeah.
Oh, man.
Going to get a Zynga, see what happens.
Just break out a box of floppy disks. Contents of this box. No, I'm very excited because it was one of those things where we were speculating. We're like, who do you get to direct this? And I remember we were all thinking, oh, Taika Waititi is probably the best. But when you can't get Taika, I think the next best option is James Gunn.
It's James Gunn. So, short list.
So I wonder who said sorry first.
For 100%, this dude, the minute he signed on to do something at DC, you know damn well Disney was like, nope. Like,
yeah,
they don't play that shit. They don't, dude, Disney and look, I love Marvel, but Disney has some of the most shadiest business practices of all time.
Yeah.
And they want monopolies.
They're the umbrella corporation.
They are. Yeah. They really are. So the minute that guy was like, okay, cool, I'm going to go make DC better, they were like, the fuck you are.
Yeah. Like, but all right, just a little bit though. Think of the Green Lantern movie we could have got.
I know.
Jesus.
I know. Look, he could have done magic over there for sure. But look, this is super exciting news. Aside from just the fact that we actually get the Guardians movie that we want, and we're hoping for, this sets a huge precedent because we talked about this when this news first came out, but this is Disney not allowing trolls to control who gets what.
Yeah.
And this is the, and look, I know they caved, but the fact that they're able to come back and kind of take that step, regardless of why.
But see, you're assuming that Gunn is coming back with a positive attitude. Maybe he is super burned and he's just going to do, he's
going to
do the Spider-Man 3.
He's going to Sam Raimi the shit.
We're going to see Drax come through. Drax is going to be
emo hair.
No, Drax doesn't move, remember?
And he will now. That's the thing.
Oh, man.
You saw this coming, Pete. Yeah. Yeah, I was dumb excited when I saw it.
Yeah, it's crazy because this is, apparently they didn't even look. They had fired him and then there was a whole contract. And then for months, this has been a thing that they've been doing.
I think it does have, like you said, a lot to do with him getting the job for Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I do think that factors in because, you know, he did make them boatloads of money for producing these, again, films that nobody knew who the fuck the Guardians were beforehand.
Yeah, for sure.
And he turned these into properties that people want to go see.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Disney fucking turned one of their attractions into Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Escape,
that's major.
You know?
Yeah.
Ride. And so they had to factor that in. And then it was like, wait. He went to the competition? Well, all right, let's get him back.
Trade secrets. Trade secrets.
Double the salary. Bring that asshole back. For sure.
Yeah, and he actually, because he had already met with them, so it was definitely, I think, Disney Marvel that did the apologizing and the offer him come back, because right after all that happened and he did his public apology, he had a meeting with them.
Yeah,
and it was after that meeting when they were still like, nope, we're going to let him go.
Yeah.
Because we have morals.
Nice try, Disney.
Fuck the Jews.
I'm pretty sure that Brian King was
fucking
there
Disney, man.
To help get him back from Fyre Festival. There's no other way to get him back. Like, you show up fully prepared.
Yeah, Andy King was like, all right, I'm going to get you your job back,
Andy
James.
Andy King. He had to be ready.
I got this. And I'll throw in a water bottle.
He came out with
Aquafina. And a cheese sandwich.
Yeah. Rory James said Disney Marvel couldn't let Warner Brothers have a moment in the sun.
Nope. That's not at all.
That is absolutely
not at all.
True.
They're going to have to do Shazam all on their own.
I feel like the only way we're going to get another Endgame trailer is if somehow somehow Warner Brothers dropped like a trailer that got everyone's panties wet for another DC movie. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the next fucking day there would be another Endgame trailer that came out that just gave another bit of it that just destroyed that trailer that was released. 100%.
Yeah.
That's how they play the game, and they're very good at it.
Yep.
So
they are very good about it. Yep.
I love that meme where they put Gunn's head on Ant-Man's and he's like, "Can you buzz me in?"
I know you remember me.
That's great.
All right, guys, let's get to the main event, shall we, before we run out of show here.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's time. We're going to be talking about Captain Marvel, everybody.
I'm going to let you know right now, you are alone in the chat. I'm not.
Oh, you're not. Oh,
nope.
Yes.
Nope. I'm going to get too heated and I can't do it.
I got you.
I can't do it.
Yeah. I'm going to put an angry face in the chat just preemptively. and now we can do this.
Yeah, this movie's been rather divisive amongst people, and I'm not sure why, because I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah,
so,
this is The Last Jedi of 2019.
But be warned, if you haven't seen it already, there's going to be spoilers aplenty here.
Yes.
And we're gonna be talking about this movie thoroughly. And who wants to start? Let's just start with Sam. What did you think of this film?
You guys going to put me in the hot seat.
Yeah, we are.
No problem. I have seen this movie I'm just kidding. all right, I saw this movie twice, okay? Mm-hmm. I went the first time. If y'all haven't read my review, it's on my page, but I'm going to go more in depth here. Mm-hmm. The first time I went, I literally just went to see what was going to happen. You know, unfortunately, we can't get away from seeing all the bullshit that's online before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And me and Derek were having this conversation. I'm going to give this full caveat to this, and it's short. I go see these movies with my kids. They're 9 and 11, and they are not kind of bastardized by the bias that we have as adults from what we know from comic books, from all of that. They just go to see the movie and enjoy the characters, right? And they loved it. They were like, "She's super cool. She's just learning her powers." This is my son when he came in. He said, "She's just learning her powers. Imagine how she's going to be by Endgame." Because this was in the 90s.
Yeah.
He put that together on his own. So for the people that were like, "She doesn't even seem that powerful," you're idiots. Like, that's all I can really say to you. So I went the second time to see the movie under the mindset of, let me go try and find the things that all these people are complaining about, this female agenda, this, oh, it's pushing this, she doesn't do that, they did this too much, this is inconsistent, and I could not see them. And I was by myself the second time. I didn't go with anybody because I just wanted to, you know, just take it in without any biases of anybody else's. They did a solid 90s. It's even filmed like 90s action.
Yeah, it is. Yep. Yeah, 100%.
You know, it's filmed like a Lethal Weapon would have been with the buddy cop thing. Yep. It reminded me a lot of when, you know, the scenes between her and Fury, and they're going from place to place and they're bantering, getting to know each other. It just came off that way, you know? The nostalgia factor was through the roof, but I don't understand why people were saying they hated the fact that it just seemed like it was too slow. It's a fucking origin story. Yeah. Origin stories, if you go back and watch Iron Man, it's kind of slow, but it's good because you're learning about him being Iron Man. Mm-hmm. The only difference was people were just on board right off top with him being Iron Man.
Yeah, I thought that made the action sequences in Iron Man that much like more on fire when they happened. Because when he finally makes the Mark II and, you know, paints it up and then goes after the terrorists, that scene is, you're just like, holy shit.
He shoots the rocket at
you're
the tank,
doing
man.
It,
that's
Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
The only thing that I actually didn't like was the whole use of the thing behind the ear. It reminded me of Thor Ragnarok. You know, of them like squelching his powers with the little convenient, "This is behind your ear, you can't do this shit" thing.
Yeah.
That was the only thing.
That's also, I know it's like supposed to be a whoa moment, but it's not.
It's not.
Yeah, it's really not.
What we give, we can take away. No, you're absolutely throttling her powers, bro. Like,
that's
we can see that coming a mile away. Yeah. So it is a bit of a trope, but.
That was the only thing that bothered me about the film. Other than that, I felt like they did an excellent job in balancing it. I knew as soon as the movie ended that it had to end with her leaving, and that one of the post-credit scenes had to be them meeting her. So we don't know what she's been through in the last, 30 years from that time to this time. So we don't know what she's learned. We don't know what she's capable of. Obviously, she can get through their whole security system and be standing there. You know, like a lot of
like
shit.
Like nothing.
Where's Fury? You know, so they did great. I don't have any problems with this film. And I don't understand the people that genuinely like hate it. Yeah. I could get the divisiveness with Last Jedi even. I could get where, you know, and we enjoyed it. We talked about it. We enjoyed it. And I could get where some people hated it and some people loved it. But for the people that like loathe this film and put it under Thor, The Dark World and Iron Man 3, I do not see that level of hate.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to mispronounce this name. I don't know if it's Janae or Janie. Bird.
Said Janae.
Janae.
Yeah,
said
it's spelled Janie. Yeah. I've been doing this shit for like.
But it had the little, it had the little accent mark. So that's, I was like, I'm not sure. So the cameo of Blockbuster Video was kind of cool. There's also some back and forth, about the Fury Eye thing, in here between a number of people. Jason Lynn said, so how about that Nick Fury Eye thing? XL says no comment. And then Janie said, I was like, that's what happened to his eye, anticlimactic LOL. And then XL said, catastrophe. So,
Jason, I see where he's talking about that.
So here's, I want to talk about that eye thing real quick.
Okay.
I thought it was the funniest shit ever.
Thank you.
Because if you go back to Winter Soldier, he tells Steve Rogers, the last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye. So it's fucking hilarious, especially when it happens, because we get a Sam Jackson motherfucker, but he says motherfucking.
Yeah,
that shit just hit me square in the funny bone, man.
It was perfect.
What's funny too, though, is like in talking about the eye thing, and then I'll get into how I feel about the movie as a whole. But the eye thing specifically didn't bother me because literally the entire movie, from the trailer,
we knew
from the trailer, the minute he leaned down and started petting the cat, and he has that funny little moment, I was like, that motherfucker's taking out his eye. Like, you didn't have to spoil shit for me at all.
We saw the meme about it, and I was like,
I knew that was coming. Well, so the whole time, I'm waiting for this moment to happen.
I was going
to
say, not only that, but the whole movie is building up this, oh, is your eye okay?
Yeah, they're teasing you the whole movie with him losing the eye. Tim Lear says, meh, I thought the eye thing was funny in the context that everyone in S.H.I.E.L.D. assumed the most badass thing must have taken his eye.
Nope, right.
Nope. Thank you, Tim.
Irritable space kitty.
That is exactly.
Yeah, and as someone who owns a cat, that shit is 100% real. The only reason I still have both of my eyes is because she doesn't have any of her fucking claws. So
you think Derek's been working out for to look good?
Yeah.
He's protecting himself from his fucking cat.
I'm pretty sure I have a flirkin. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I just loved it in the movie where it happens and he's like, yeah, it's just a scratch. And then Talos is like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was telling my kids that because they were like, the cat did it, you know, and he loved it too. Like we went and bought the pop like immediately. But because it was such a trivial thing that nobody really saw, him being in S.H.I.E.L.D., he can make up any fantastic story. That was like an instant promotion.
Yeah.
Like he just fought off aliens and lost an eye, guys.
Yeah.
Like actually a cat fucking.
But also like Fury's classy enough. He didn't. I don't think he makes up the stories. It's just like
he let everybody else make them.
Yeah. When Coulson comes in, is it true that this happened? And he's just like, I can either confirm or deny. And it's like,
that's, and the myth begins.
Yeah. So I will tell you out of those two things though, because there's two of them that happen. The eye thing, I was actually fine with. I thought it was funny. To me, it fits in the context of everything as a whole, and it doesn't change who Nick Fury is in any way, shape, or form to me. However, the very next thing that I don't think enough people are mad about is how the Avengers got their name. That I will excuse every other plot hole and everything else that you come up with that you don't like about Captain Marvel, except that. I haven't rolled my eyes that hard at a Marvel film in a very long time. That to me was so dumb and so cheap, and it felt the way that Solo got his name in Solo Star Wars Story to me. I was like, nope. No fucking way. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
What if he was like the Solo Initiative?
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like to me. That bothered me more than anything else that people have brought up.
The only thing I let that go, the only reason I let that go is because the day they were filming that, you know, I work out there and I saw those planes out there with Avenger on the side. So I was like, I bet that's going to be a thing. You know? And my partner was like, what the fuck just happened? And I had to explain to him. I was like, that's her jet right there, bro. Well, like,
and also you think that's a little on the nose. Her partner's call sign is Photon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's like,
Yeah.
But people don't
know that. There's a Marvel character called Photon who actually was Captain Marvel at one point.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
It's on the nose.
Yeah, it's a nod, and it's on the nose.
We're dealing with comic books. I mean, that.
Those nods are going to be there, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is going to be on the nose like that, and they're going to make those references. Yeah. So.
But that was the only thing that really, really bothered me. Like, I just thought that was way dumber than Nick Fury losing his eye by a cat. Like,
although I will say, as he's typing it in and you hear the Avengers theme play, I got chills. I did.
It just hits me.
In the chat, like, y'all let me know, can you honestly say you thought this movie was worse than Iron Man 3 and Thor the Dark World? I just want to hear from people.
Well, I mean, Mike Gomez says Captain Marvel and Black Panther not as good as Iron Man 1.
Yeah. He also said Captain Marvel is mediocre.
I saw that, but that's,
So.
But also, real quick, Derek, just to get on your point, we don't actually see him type the word Avengers. For all you know, he could have been like, the Danvers Initiative. And then
the Carol Initiative.
And then later on, down the road, something.
The Danvers Initiative?
Yeah. I really want Coulson to be like, are you sure Danvers is the best thing to go with?
Let's talk about Coulson for a minute. How did y'all feel seeing that whole arc? Because that was surprising to me. Maybe I just didn't see enough of the trailers.
That he was there?
Well, just the way that they portrayed it.
Well, I mean, he's the FNG at that point, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's. I don't know. Like, I think we get why Fury trusts him later on. Yeah. Like, why he keeps him at
That's
arm's
what I
length.
Mean. I like
no, it's
that.
A, it's setting up their relationship
and
as
I,
to
I get
why
that.
He's kind of his right hand man type of thing.
I will say this about Coulson. Well, first off, the digital effects to make Sam Jackson look young and gorgeous were phenomenal.
Yes,
in this movie.
Wow,
like,
did they?
Most of the time, you can kind of tell. Like with Coulson, you can tell. That they've done some digital de-aging, especially in certain scenes where he talks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there was no point in this movie where I was like, they've done something to Sam Jackson. He just looks like young Sam Jackson.
They just gave him hair.
Yeah. No, no, it looks incredible.
This was
it
like
so
Negotiator.
Good.
I don't have time for Captain Marvel. Knee bomb.
Right? Yeah. Knee bomb. They killed him.
Yeah. I was getting. I was getting triple X flashbacks.
I went straight to Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah, no, those special effects are fantastic. So the one thing I want to say about this film as a whole, instead of getting into specific, I know we kind of dived into it, but I can understand if you walked away from this thinking it was a mediocre film. I don't necessarily agree. I had a lot more fun.
Yeah.
But if you walk away from it thinking, yeah, that was okay. Honestly, I'm fine with that. For me, the loathing of this film where like, I know people that have actually walked out of Captain Marvel and I was, to me, I just don't see it. I just don't see the absolute hatred that you can build in your soul for this.
Well, I think this is one of those cases where a lot of people hated this movie before they went to see it.
Yeah.
And kind of just carried that in with them, and they weren't going to give the film a chance regardless.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of that.
So many people were hating on the trailer, and sure, maybe the trailers weren't as exciting as something else, but I never watched a trailer and was like, oh, this movie's going to suck.
Yeah.
I just, you know, went to see the movie, and I enjoyed it. So I think maybe that has played a factor.
I'm sure it did, and I think a lot of people not knowing Brie Larson outside of Captain Marvel. I mean, yes, you've seen her in a lot of things, but I don't think people realize, like, her... So her comments in her interview, none of that shit is new. Like, she's been a diehard women's activist and women's rights in Hollywood for a very long time. And I don't know if you guys remember when she had to present the award to Casey, I maybe have sex allegations, Affleck.
Yeah.
but she fucking, like, she almost didn't say his name.
Yeah.
She was so disgusted that he won the award. Like, so if anybody walked in and was like, she doesn't like white men, it's like, that's one, that's not what she said. And then two, like, that's, she's always been this person. Like, that's not anything new. And that's a really dumb reason to hate a film before you see it. So, yeah.
Let me go to the chat real quick. I'm definitely going to mispronounce this name. Kikayu Watkins.
Probably
just loved that.
Love me? Are you riding?
Said,
you
never leave me though. Said that CGI youth for Coulson was a bit creepy though. Very true.
Yeah.
Davina Lira says, I love Agent Coulson and was so glad to see him and how their partnership began. XL says the de-aging was the only thing I enjoyed about it. I'd have to think hard of something else. I was bored as shit. And then based on your people walking out comment, he said, I wish I had walked out. Ashley Allison said, some people just can't handle a strong female.
Boom.
And then there's been a fuck ton of comments since, and the chat just fucking blew up while I was trying to.
Well, can I speak to that Ashley comment?
Yes.
I saw one honest comment, and I think it was when it got posted that the movie did like $500 million. And this dude came in and he was like, you know what? I'm just going to say it. I was like, okay, this comment's going to be good, right? But no, he said, dudes are mad that she's not as hot as Scarlett Johansson and any of the other women in the MCU. On top of that, they feel demasculated, which that speaks more to them. And dudes were, of course, going in on him in that comment. You know what I'm saying? She's not your like classic whatever, whatever. And on top of that, she's a leading lady as far as the heroes go. Yeah. Scarlett Johansson's kind of in the background. We'll see if that holds true if they make the Black Widow movie and she's a lead if she gets turned on for being a lead.
Yeah.
The whole demasculation thing, and I had made a little video about this. I don't like vagina any less, guys. I didn't leave the theater, and all of a sudden, I feel like I need to go wear a dress. If you like a dress, that's great.
Yeah, that's...
But what I'm saying is it doesn't change who you are. Like, yeah. Nothing can demasculate you from women uplifting other women.
Yeah,
there shouldn't be anything wrong with that.
It's but also, very
if
weird.
You,
it's...
If you go to a movie, and any movie, and that movie makes you feel less of who you are, then you probably should look in here. Like,
There's something wrong with you, bro.
CJ Francis says it was an origin and that was lost on people for some reason.
Yes.
That's actually a real, so one of the things I've wanted to say is, and I think you had brought this up in your review and your comments about it, I didn't necessarily agree with. And here's why. So,
yeah.
The one thing that I've heard and I've kind of just been saying is this is a Marvel Phase 1 movie placed in a Phase 3 universe.
That was you that said that.
That's what I said.
Okay.
So here's where I disagree with you, because I actually don't think that's a wrong assessment. I think what happened is you fall into two categories. You get one, you get people like me who's like, oh shit, it's a throwback to Phase 1. That's refreshing. Like, there's no weight of the Winter Soldier. There's no weight of Civil War. There's no, it's just, hey, this is a Thor. This is an Iron Man. This is a Hulk. Like, that's what it feels like. So for me, it was refreshing. It was fun. I enjoyed seeing a Phase 1 Marvel movie again.
Yeah.
There's the other spectrum of people who were extremely disappointed because they feel like we're so far past doing Phase 1 stuff. Now that we're into ending Phase 3, moving into Phase 4,
right,
that they walked away feeling disappointed that that's all they got.
Well, those people are going to be or should be disappointed as long as this continues, because anytime we get a new character, we shouldn't get them jumping in a strange place. We should get their origin story for the people that aren't familiar with them.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that I disagreed with that statement. It was that, it's Phase 3. Yeah, this is Captain Marvel. It should feel like an origin story.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if people...
I just didn't categorize it as Phase 1. Like, everything doesn't have to be, oh, it was Phase 1. That was all the origin.
It doesn't. I just feel like that's my only way of being able to frame how much people dislike this film is by putting it into those kinds of categories.
Because
I have no idea.
Yeah, I've never thought about movies, the Marvel movies, in terms of phases, like, ever. I know they have that as a thing, but I've never been like, oh, that felt like a phase.
Well, actually, it's a Phase 1.
Well, actually,
Guardians 2 is a Phase 5 movie and a Phase 2.
Danny, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I wonder if people are being so like let down by this movie because they were going in thinking it was going to like build up Endgame, and that's why they're just falling apart at the seams over it. I went into it thinking I'm going to see a Phase 1 origin story here, and that's what I got, and I am very, very pleased with what I got.
That's exactly what it was.
But yeah, the only reason I could think is like these people like built this up is like, oh, this is going to be a prequel to Endgame. And
I think
it's
what
not.
People, everybody just wants their Endgame, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't, I was like, they're going to show us Captain Marvel. Like, we knew that at the end of Infinity War. Like, oh my God, Captain Marvel, let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
And we got the beginning of how this goes.
Yeah.
So we'll see the rest.
All right, let me get to the chat real quick here. So Paul Pastora says, but I think the question is truly no BS or any other agendas. Was the movie good or not? As a Marvel fan who grew up reading the comics, I know Captain Marvel has psychic and physical abilities. Is this movie good or not? It's all subjective, but
short answer, yes.
I think it was a good movie. Yes, we're all saying that we enjoyed the film, but in my opinion, it wasn't like, oh, this movie was shit, but I enjoyed it. I thought this was a good movie and enjoyed it. Sure, there are certain aspects of it that I think lacked a little bit. I do think, like, for me personally, I feel like the CG, especially near the end when she's being Captain Marvel.
Yes, that was a little wonky.
Is a little it's a little computery. It's yeah. not Black Panther bad, but
but they probably fair. Blew their budget on de-aging everybody. Yeah,
that is fair.
But it does. Like, especially there's that scene where she's like falling back to the earth, mm-hmm. and then she activates and flies. That her face right there, that it's
it
like,
just it looks fake.
It yeah. looks fake. Yeah. It looks really fake.
It's like Mark Ruffalo in the
yes.
You're so screwed now. Yeah.
Looks a little bit like that.
A little floating head.
And then I feel like I've heard people bitching about the music of this movie.
Hell no.
And I had, here's the thing. I had some issues with the music, but not for the reasons that I've heard. I did feel like the 90s music felt a little shoehorned into places.
Yes.
Inappropriately. I didn't have a problem with the song selection at all. But I've heard people bitching about the I'm Just a Girl being used in the big action sequence and saying how campy and dumb it is. And it's like, did y'all not watch Thor Ragnarok? Because are you telling me it's not on the nose to be playing, to have an action sequence to Immigrant Song? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Not only that, but that song is about Vikings.
Yeah, and like I know the Iron Man is the song doesn't actually, I don't think it plays over an action sequence, but that song does feature in the movie Iron Man. And if that's not on the fucking nose, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
They've always done that kind of
stuff. Yeah, and I'm actually fine with the song itself, and it didn't take anything away from the action sequence to me. For me, I think the shoehorn of the 90s music nostalgia, it felt slightly out of place to me, even though it was like, you know, a 90s movie. For whatever reason, it just didn't land as hard as some of the other 90s types of things that they did for me. But I wasn't like, really? Just a girl? Just a girl? Oh, my God, my fragile masculine sensibilities.
Pat Allison says, I loved the No Doubt Combat Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's on my workout playlist now, guys. So fuck you. And I still feel like a man. So take that.
I saw somebody mad about the final fight where he was like, if you can beat me straight up, and she just blasts him.
No, that's oh, that shit was great.
That was the greatest shit ever.
Yes. When she walks up and says, I don't have anything to prove to you.
Yeah. And of course, people were like, oh, this is them saying women don't have anything. No, it's actually her saying, I can kind of shoot photon blasts out of my goddamn hand.
It's literally her going, I'm a fucking Tesseract. Like, what?
And actually, to me, that was a great moment because it's one of those where Jude Law knows he can't compete with her.
Yeah.
And so when he goes, I'm so proud of you. I was like, as I was watching it, I was like, this motherfucker thinks he's going to talk his way out of this shit right now.
Take that, Dumbledore. Yeah. I can't move against Danvers.
Dude, and I like that. I like that so many people were walking away from this going, oh, she's not even that powerful. Guys,
she flew through a ship.
No. Not only did she fly through a ship, she made Ronan the Accuser go, back up.
Back it up. It was more like, roll him up.
No, he was like, okay, we'll come back.
We'll come back seven movies later, guys. Yeah. We need about seven films in the timeline for us to come back and address this.
Glenn Folk says that was the equivalent of Loki talking shit to Hulk.
Absolutely.
I thought that scene was totally fine.
I would like to talk about one of the standout performances in this movie, and that is I Always Play a Bad Guy.
Oh God.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my heart.
It's brilliant casting because you think he's the bad guy.
He has to be because he's Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah. He's always the bad guy. So you're like, yeah, checks out.
Yeah.
And then when they flip it and you're like, holy shit,
it's the other British guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the fact he gets to use his actual normal accent for a change.
Yeah.
And he was fucking delightful. That guy stole every scene.
Oh,
he was
scene
in.
Stealer. 100%. Yeah. He reminded me of Andy Serkis in Black Panther.
Black Panther, yes.
Like, you know, like, because when you see Andy Serkis finally get to just fucking be Andy Serkis, he has so much joy. I was actually sad when he died.
He looked happy that you could see him.
Yeah, he was fun. Like,
I just want
to
be seen.
He was so fucking happy, and he brought just like this joy to the most disgusting human being, and you're just like, I love this guy. I fucking love him.
Baby, don't hurt me.
Dude, it's so good. No, and so this role felt like that for Ben Mendelsohn. Like, this is one of the first roles he's had where he's not typecast.
Yep.
And he gets to be himself. He gets to be fun. He gets to show off his comedic chops, which you don't ever get to see. And God damn it, I need more of it in my life.
Well, that line where I'm going to put my foot in a dark place. Am I just supposed to guess where that's supposed to be?
I like the other one where she's like, how did you get that? He's like, lady, I don't think if you know, but I've got a skill.
I was like, can you turn into a cat? What's a cat?
That's a cat. That's a flarkin.
And then
filing cabinet?
Yeah. Why would I turn into a filing cabinet?
And then Sam, I'll give you $50 if you turn into a beetle spot trap.
That type of stuff was great because it didn't really need to be there.
No, but you have to be able to have fun with these movies.
It's just a
testament to how good Ben Mendelsohn can actually be, because I enjoy him as a villain. Like, he's been the same villain in almost everything we've ever seen.
Ready Player One, love him.
Like, yeah, and but just the fact that he gets to just be free and have fun and enjoy himself, it was like, oh god, this is so refreshing.
One of the things I said that was even if he had been the bad guy the whole way through, one of the things that was delightful about it is that all the bad guys he has played previously have always been middle management.
Yes.
So they've been, do you feel in charge?
Like, yeah. He's been that guy.
He's that guy. You're pure evil. Yeah.
That's like, he always, he's always angry, but you can tell it's because he's going to be murdered by Darth Vader if he fucks up.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
That's the vibe you get. And in this, like, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And you feel it.
Yeah. He answers to no one. Yeah.
Yeah. And also I want to hear from each of you on this too. But a lot of the hate that was spewing about this movie too was that even legitimate reviewers that I know that saw this movie said that they did not like Brie Larson's acting in this movie. That they thought she was stiff and she was wooden and she just kind of phoned in her performance. And I don't know what fucking movie.
I was looking at you, listening to Sam sigh, getting ready to unleash the Flurkin. He was fucking ready.
I was backing up from the mic, like, maybe he can hear me. Yeah. I think he can hear me.
What fucking movie were you watching?
Dude, I'm telling you, Mike. We did this. Mike and I saw it, and I swear to God, I went in because I heard all the hate before I saw it. I went in waiting for that moment. I was ready for it. I was like, all right, there's going to be a moment where I don't like her. And it like the movie ended and I was like,
I did the same thing.
Wait, what are they talking? What did I just,
when does she suck?
When does she suck? To me, I think it's just people don't like her. I really just think that's all.
And I don't get why. I've liked Brie Larson ever since Scott Pilgrim.
I fucking love her. And I thought she was great. There's that scene where she's fighting all the Skrulls and there's that big giant one that comes out and he like growls at her and then she fucking growls back.
Yeah. No, I will say this. She, you know, a lot of the, I think people, again, judging her have been judging the controversies surrounding her, like her speaking up and, you know, being about representation for women. But I did watch one of those auto fill interviews.
Yes, where she does
the Wire, whatever it's called.
It's the Wired auto complete interview with
I did watch that, and she does come across as kind of a twat in that in that interview.
Yeah.
Like, she's just and I think, I don't know if that's just her personality, like she was trying to be kind of sassy and funny, but it didn't come across that way.
Mm-hmm.
It came across kind of like condescending and shut your fucking mouth kind of is kind of the vibe. So I can see maybe where some people feel that way about her as a person. But again, like, I'm never, ever, ever going to condone Scientology. Okay. But I will go and watch Tom Cruise do whatever the fuck he wants to do in movies because I like him as an actor.
Right.
And so seeing her like that, I was kind of like, oh, that's a little off-putting, but I don't really know you, so I'm not going to make any snap judgments.
Right.
But also, you are phenomenal in this movie, I feel. Like, you do everything that is required in these scenes. All the emotional range that she needs to hit, I feel like she does it. You can see she's having a lot of fun in places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does make Carol Danvers a bit of a twat for destroying that jukebox for no fucking reason.
Yeah, seriously.
But, I mean, look, this is not her world anymore, so I guess it's fine.
Well, for me, and again, this might be just my military background, but when she's at work, she has a completely different demeanor than when she's just hanging out with Maria.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not the same person in either of those roles. After she realizes who she is, she's, again, not the same person. She's not going to talk to her boss the way she's going to talk to Fury that she just met. She's got no reason to, like, hold anything back. And then once she, you know, fully becomes herself towards the end of the movie, you can even see the look in her eye when she comes back and is like, where's Fury? She's been through some shit.
Yeah.
And we don't know what happened to her, you know? So I just feel like people were kind of giving her a really, really hard time for absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There was nothing about her performance that felt the way that a lot of other people have been talking about it. To me, I thought she was enjoyable. I thought she was fun. I mean, just her character in general is supposed to be kind of I mean, the whole movie is based on her trying to, based on everybody telling her to like keep everything in check and not get out of control and be some stoic person. And she's constantly not doing that. Like, she's constantly breaking and smiling and like having a good time and making sassy remarks and telling people that doubt her to go fuck themselves. Like, that's that, yeah. Like, how is that any different? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just, it was a weird criticism for me, because I felt like she does have development. And again, it's an origin story. I mean, one of the arguments they said was she starts as a stoic warrior and then she ends as a stoic warrior. And I didn't really feel that that was the case. I feel like she is somebody who starts as someone who is supposedly minimal. she starts as someone who is supposedly powerless and has to be kept in check and becomes somebody who is fully grown and developed. Yeah. And
yeah, I don't feel like she was ever stoic, even in,
yeah, the I don't feel like that
even
either.
When he's telling her to keep her emotions in check, she's definitely not doing that.
Yeah.
So, and I do feel like there's character growth there, because there is a lot of him in her head, mm-hmm. and her trying to be the good soldier and then learning that she's been lied to this entire time.
Right.
And again, like, even coming down to that end scene where he's like, you know, prove it to me. And then, you know, I don't have to prove anything to you. Like, that's, yeah. there's an arc there. And yeah. I don't know. I think it's very, very good. So, and all the people that are complaining, there's not enough action and whatever. There's enough.
Yeah.
There's a decent amount of story. The action is there is fine. Like, it wasn't anything groundbreaking. It's definitely no Winter Soldier as far as action is concerned, but I think it served the movie exactly what it needed. When she wrecked the ships at the end, I was cheering for her. I really was.
I was on board. It was good.
when Ronan's just like, check please. Yeah. I thought it was a great scene.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great too. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I feel like I just need people to be consistent in what they're mad about, because if it had just been straight action and no story, we'd be like, well, we didn't learn anything about Captain Marvel. And now that we got all that and we know in 2-3 weeks, just calm down and we're going to find out what else she can do.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, otherwise we get a movie that's all action and no story. And it feels like Justice League, where it's rushed and nobody knows who she is. You know how?
Yeah.
So it's weird. I don't understand people.
Yeah. Real quick, because I don't think Danny's got to weigh in on that. Have you, Danny, what did you think of her acting?
Honestly, it didn't bother me. I know she's a great actress. She played the part perfectly. I honestly can't say anything about it, because it was fine. It was just fine. Like, nothing bothered me about the way she acted. It was
okay.
She was a person discovering these powers for the first, like, really for the first time, and she was having fun with it. Like, you find out that you can do all these things. You're going to be woohooing and flying through ships and. Yeah.
Like, what else? What would you do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you realize, like, getting shot with some kind of laser is not going to hurt you. Yeah, you're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
Just have fun with it. Just have fun with it, guys.
Just have fun. Let's get crazy.
XL says the action was trash to me. Poor camera work, too, in those spots. I assume you're talking about, like, the up-close hand-to-hand fights. XL, because obviously the digital action sequences were just that. But I can kind of see the fight coverage in, like, the first fight she has in the corridor when she's got the things on her hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little wonky, the camera work there, but it wasn't shaky cam. It wasn't, you know, it didn't distract me enough to be like, ooh, I don't care for this. What's happening?
Same.
I could still tell what was going on.
Yeah.
That was when I was saying, I felt like it was very 90s action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't come across as like some big polished Into the Badlands or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, right.
It was very, this is how fight scenes looked. It was like Riggs fighting in a hallway type of fight, you know?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I know one character I felt like I didn't get enough of was Minerva. I wanted to see a lot more Minerva.
Is that because you have a crush on Gemma Chan?
Well, besides that, I feel like, No, she's just a really, really cool character. And yeah. she's like a medical doctor for them. So you didn't really get to see her do a lot of the things that she can do. Mm-hmm. And she just was like, she just looked really cool. And mm-hmm. you only got to see her kind of like look cool with a sniper rifle, but not do a whole lot with it. So yeah. I just wish she got more screen
time. I did like that little exchange that they had at the end.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you knew the whole time. Is that why we never got along? It's like, no, I just don't like you.
Yeah.
What we missed is, I think they cut it out for time. In the chase sequence at the end, it looks like her ship gets blown up, but it actually crashes, and then they land, and Photon gets out and goes, "Welcome to Earth," and punches her in the face.
I knew something was missing. I knew something was missing.
Had a friend like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why that actress turned into Will Smith, but that's what happened.
But it's the only way you can do it. So, you know,
it's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Pulls out a cigar. Now that's what I call a close encounter.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, look, I very much enjoyed the film. I saw it twice, and even on a second viewing, I didn't feel like it lost anything. I enjoyed it. Is it my favorite Marvel movie? No, not at all. Is it the worst? No, not at all. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand that I'm just like, oh my God, it's the greatest Marvel movie of all time. Like just because I enjoyed it and I thought it was good does not mean I have to justify where it fits in the 22 fucking movies that have come out. Like,
it was good.
I don't know what you want me to tell you. Like, I'm not going to sit here and
at this point, I don't think because of the pantheon that they've put together in the MCU, we don't have to rack and stack them that way.
You know,
it can just be another good movie in the addition to it. And it wasn't a train wreck. So it should just be another film that adds to what we love when we go to see these movies. Yeah. Because regardless how you felt about it, we're getting a part two. I don't believe any real MCU nerd fan that's going to say they're going to skip Captain Marvel 2.
No, you're not.
You're going.
No, you're not.
You're going.
And here's the thing, guys. Like, again, movies are subjective. I'm not saying, Derek will be saying this. if you didn't like the movie, I'm not saying you're wrong.
But you are.
But he will say that.
Yeah, I'll say it.
Because everyone has their own things. Their own likes, their own dislikes. Yeah, I thought it was a well-made film. I don't know. So, but anyway, thank you all for
thank you
tuning in and for letting us know your thoughts on the film in the chat. We appreciate it. And again, like, you know, everybody has their own likes and dislikes. So, if you didn't like it, I appreciate the fact that you said so in the chat. And you know, don't sugarcoat it. So, Derek's the only one that hates.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. Good.
Let the hate flow through you.
It makes you stronger. It gives you focus.
Something dark side.
Real quick, guys, something I wanted to show off to everybody.
Ooh, sexy.
I think there's a
shameless plug.
I don't know if you can take that Captain Marvel image down because it's right in my.
Oh, I most certainly can.
So a little while back, we had broken out Pitch Room on index cards to test it on the show. This is the actual functioning model of the game.
It's so pretty.
We got, look at that. This is a rule book there.
Wow.
And a fuck ton of cards. All the cards.
So it comes in frame.
All sexy and professional. Now it's not quite ready for sale, but this is just the prototype copy. We're still going to do some testing. But I thought this game was a lot of fun when we tested it on the show. So if, I don't know if anyone is in the area and would be interested in having some fun, getting together with the Jack of All Nerds and testing this game out, we'd love to have you. Hit me up on the website.
Yeah. So. When we played it on the show, we had a blast. It was a lot of fun. And, basically, look, if you hated Captain Marvel, now you get to make your own.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Movie. I don't have a card for Brie Larson, though. I don't.
Ooh.
I made this before the controversy.
Well, the ones that hate it will be fine with that.
Yes, so, they will.
You know.
But look, if this tests well and you guys actually buy it, we can add additional packs like they do with Cruel or Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, we can have the misogynist deck or whatever.
Yeah, there you go. We'll throw in some Brie Larson, some Gal Gadot.
Just whatever you want.
Lena Dunham, you're fucking welcome.
The misogyny thing. You should do stand-up.
You know, just have fun with it. Just have fun with it. Just,
you know what? Let's get crazy.
Let's get crazy. We're going to play it on a little misogynist right here.
We're going to give this sad nerd a fan. And
let's just take the sleeves off this one.
We'll just go ahead and erase that. Oh, look, we've given him a chat room where he can...
Okay, this is. Let's stop. He shows up. We say his name three times.
Oh, and that's the joys of making internet.
Anyway, guys, thank you again for being here. Hey, Sam, you got anything coming up?
Please just follow me on my page and at Sam Ridley Comedy. I'll be performing up in Murrieta next week and in Riverside 2 weeks after that and in a couple other places. Just follow my page. You'll see where I'm at. And I'll be back with these two fine gentlemen here talking about movies and whatnot.
Yes. Awesome. Yes.
Very cool.
Derek, you have anything?
I do. So actually on Thursday, I will be in the good old city of Beaumont.
Why?
Yeah, so I'm doing a show there. It's actually for the Riverside PD. So it's a charity event for them.
Okay.
Tickets are online. I think you can go to comedyforcauses.com and find tickets for that. If you want to go, let me know.
And how much is that in meth?
I don't know the value of it yet. I want to say in heroin, it's like $25.
Okay.
And I think it includes like a dinner or something like that. But they'll have a bunch of stuff there. It's a really cool event. So I'm excited to do that. So if you want to go, let me know.
All right. And as always, guys, head on over to our YouTube channel or just search Jack of All Nerds Show. Make sure you add the word show because apparently there's another channel called Jack of All Nerds.
Jerks.
They're not as cool as we are, though.
Yeah.
But head on over
there.
That's
okay. We're going to Marvel them. We're going to Disney them. Fucking crush Warner Brothers. We're hiring James Gunn back.
Yes. But head on over there. Check out all our other programming that is not here on Nerdbot. We actually just released a new episode of Cinema Saga discussing the Toy Story franchise.
Yeah.
And here are our thoughts with our friend and comedian Matt Avila.
Yeah.
About this film. Also, we have the Brief History of the Past videos that come out. Derek and Matt have a new show that just premiered last week.
Yeah, it's called Snubbed. We take a year of the Oscars and we go through all the best pictures. We talk about the winner. And then we basically talk about why the Oscars were wrong each year. discuss which film we think should have won.
And we're hoping that Sam is going to have his own show on our YouTube channel coming
yes,
up.
Yes, and it is definitely coming.
Yeah, it's just going to be him staring at you angrily.
Saying,
but,
coming. Yeah, it's coming.
Well, I needed a space where I wasn't right by Derek's arms. So,
God damn it,
you
Sam.
Know,
and they're everywhere. They'll get you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, guys, you can also support us on Patreon if you're interested for as little as a dollar a month. What that gets you is bonus early access to most of our video content that goes up on YouTube. You get it a week before everyone else, as well as some other bonus features as well. And who knows, someday when we get this sweet baby in the works, maybe get you one of those as well.
Yeah.
You never know.
A little pitch room for yourself.
That's
huh?
right. But head on over there. And again, you can find all our social media and stuff over at jackofallnerdshow.com as well as all the other cool stuff as well. Guys, thank you. Thank you, Chad.
Thank you.
This has been the Jack of All Nerds. We will talk at you later.